Okay, Carrie, so here we are continuing Harry Potter. We'll be reading Chapter 9, The Midnight Duel. So, if you remember what we were doing before, Harry had just met with Hagrid and he brought Ron along. And, anyways, they were talking about the theft from Gringotts or whatever. Okay, so here we go, The Midnight Duel. Harry had never believed he would meet a boy he hated more than Dudley, but that was before he met Draco Malfoy. Still, first-year Gryffindors only had potions with the Slytherins, so they didn't have to put up with Malfoy much. Or at least, they didn't until they spotted a notice pinned up on the Gryffindor common room that made them all groan. Flying lessons would be started on Thursday, and Gryffindor and Slytherin would be learning together. "Typical," said Harry darkly. "Just what I always wanted. To make a fool of myself on a broomstick in front of Malfoy." He had been looking forward to learning to fly more than anything else. "You don't know you make a fool of yourself," said Ron reasonably. "Anyway, I know Malfoy's always going on about how good at Quidditch he is, but I'll bet that's all talk." Malfoy certainly did talk about flying a lot. He complained loudly about first years never getting on the house Quidditch teams and told long, boastful stories that always seemed to end with him narrowly escaping muggles in helicopters. He wasn't the only one, though. The way Seamus Finnegan told it, he'd spent most of his childhood zooming about the countryside on his broomstick. Even Ron would tell anyone who'd listened about the time he'd almost hit a hang glider on Charlie's old broom. Everyone from wizarding families talked about Quidditch constantly. Ron had already had a big argument with Dean Thomas, who shared their dormitory, about soccer. Ron couldn't see what was so exciting about a game with only one ball, where no one was allowed to fly. Harry had caught Ron prodding Dean's poster of West Ham soccer team, trying to make the players move. Neville had never been on a broomstick in his life because his grandmother had never let him near one. Privately, Harry felt she'd had good reason, because Neville managed to have an extraordinary number of accidents, even with both feet on the ground. Hermione Granger was almost as nervous as flying about flying as Neville was. This was something you couldn't learn by heart out of book, not that she hadn't tried. At breakfast on Thursday, she bored them all stupid with little flying tips she'd gotten out of a library book called Quidditch Through the Ages. Neville was hanging on to her every word, desperate for anything that might help him hang onto his broomstick later. But everyone else was very pleased when Hermione's lecture was interrupted by the arrival of mail. Harry hadn't had a single letter since Hagrid's note, something that Malfoy had been quick to notice, of course. Malfoy's eagle owl was always bringing him packages of sweets from home, which he opened gloatingly at the Slytherin table. A barn owl brought Neville a small package from his grandmother. He opened it excitedly and showed them a glass ball the size of a large marble, which seemed to be full of white smoke. "It's a remember-all," he exclaimed. "Gran knows I always forget things. This tells you if there's something you've forgotten to do. Look, you hold it tight like this and it turns red." "Oh." His face fell because the remember-all had suddenly glowed scarlet. "If you've forgotten something." Neville was trying to remember what he'd forgotten when Draco Malfoy, who was passing the Gryffindor table, snatched the remember-all out of his hand. Ron and Harry jumped to their feet. They were hoping for a reason to fight Malfoy, but Professor McGonagall, who could spot trouble quicker than any teacher in the school, was there in a flash. "What's going on?" "Malfoy's got my remember-all, Professor." Scowling, Malfoy quickly dropped the remember-all back on the table. "Just looking," he said, and slipped away with Crabbe and Goyle behind him. At 3:30 that afternoon, Harry, Ron, and the other Gryffindors hurried down the front steps onto their grounds for their first flying lesson. It was a clear, breezy day, and the grass rippled under their feet as they marched down the sloping lawns toward a smooth, flat lawn on the opposite side of the grounds to the Forbidden Forest, whose trees were swaying darkly in the distance. The Slytherins were already there, so there were 20 broomsticks lying in neat lines on the ground. Harry had heard Fred and George Weasley complain about school brooms, seeing that some of them started to vibrate if you flew too high, or always flew slightly to the left. Their teacher, Madame Hooch, arrived. She had short gray hair and yellow eyes, like a hawk. "Well, what are you all waiting for?" she said. "Everyone stand by a broomstick. Come on, hurry up." Harry glanced down at his broom. It was old, and some of the twigs stuck out at odd angles. "Stick out your right hand over your broom," called Madame Hooch up the front, "and say, up." "Up," everyone shouted. Harry's broom jumped into his hand at once, but it was one of the few that did. Hermione Granger's had simply rolled over on the ground, and Neville's hadn't moved at all. Perhaps brooms, like horses, could tell when you were afraid, Harry thought. There was a quaver in Neville's voice that said only too clearly he wanted to keep his feet on the ground. Madame Hooch then showed them how to mount their brooms without sliding off the end, and walked up and down the rows, correcting their grips. Harry and Ron were delighted when she told Malfoy he'd been doing it wrong for years. "Now, when I blow my whistle, kick your feet off the ground hard," said Madame Hooch. "Keep your broom steady, rise a few feet, and then come straight back down by leaning forward slightly. On my whistle. Three, two. But Neville, nervous and jumpy and frightened of being left on the ground, pushed off hard before the whistle had touched Madame Hooch's lips. "Come back, boy," she shouted, but Neville was rising straight up like a cork shot out of a bottle, 12 feet, 20 feet. Harry saw his scared white face, looked down at the ground falling away, saw him gasp, slip sideways off his broom, and wham! A thud and a nasty crack, and Neville lay face down on the grass in a heap. His broomstick was still rising higher and higher, and started to drift lazily toward the Forbidden Forest and out of sight. Madame Hooch was bending over Neville, her face as white as his. "Broken wrist," Harry heard her mutter. "Come on, boy, it's all right, up you get." She turned to the rest of the class. "None of you is to move while I take this boy to the hospital wing. You leave those brooms where they are. You'll be out of Hogwarts before you can say Quidditch. Come on, dear." Neville, his face tear-streaked, clutching his wrist, hobbled off with Madame Hooch, who had her arm around him. No sooner than they were out of earshot than Malfoy burst into laughter. "Did you see his face, the great lump?" Other Slytherins joined in.
"Shut up, Malfoy," snapped Parvo Parati.
"Ew, sticking up for Longbottom," said Pansy Perkinsons, a hard-faced Slytherin girl. "Never thought you'd like fat little crybabies, Parvati."
"Look," said Malfoy, darting forward and snatching something out of the grass. "It's that stupid little thing Longbottom's grand sent him." The rememberall glittered in the sun as he held it up.
"Give it here, Malfoy," said Harry quietly.
Everyone stopped to watch. Malfoy smiled nastily.
I'll leave it for Longbottom to find. How about up a tree?"
"Give it here," Harry yelled, but Malfoy had leapt onto his broomstick and taken off. He hadn't been lying. He could fly well. Hovering level with the topmost branches of an oak, he called, "Come and get it, Potter." Harry grabbed his broom.
"No," shouted Hermione Granger. "Madame Hooch told us not to move. You'll get us all in trouble."
Harry ignored her. Blood was pounding in his head. He mounted the broom and kicked hard up against the ground, and up, up he soared. Air rushed through his hair, and his robes whipped out behind him. And in a rush of fierce joy, he realized he'd found something he could do without being taught. This was easy. This was wonderful. He pulled his broomstick up a little to take it even higher, and heard screams and gasps of the girl on the ground, and an admiring whoop from Ron. He turned his broomstick sharply to face Malfoy in midair. Malfoy looked stunned.
"Give it here," Harry called, "or I'll knock you off that broom."
"Oh, yeah?" said Malfoy, trying to sneer, but looking worried. Harry knew somehow what to do. He leaned forward and grasped the broom tightly in both hands, and it shot toward Malfoy like a javelin. Malfoy only just got out of the way in time. Harry made a sharp about-face and held the broom steady. Few people below were clapping.
"No Craven Goyle up here to save your neck, Malfoy," Harry called.
The same thought seemed to have struck Malfoy.
"Catch it if you can, then," he shouted, and then he threw the glass ball high into the air and streaked back toward the ground.
Harry saw, as though in slow motion, the ball rise up in the air and start to fall. He leaned forward and pointed his broom handle down. The next second he was gathering speed in a steep dive, racing the ball. Wind whistled in his ears, mingled with the screams of people watching. He stretched out his hand. A foot from the ground he caught it, just in time to pull back his broom straight, and he toppled into the grass with a rememberall clutched safely in his fist.
"Harry Potter!"
His heart sank faster than he'd just dived. Professor McGonagall was running toward them. He got to his feet, trembling.
"Never in all my time at Hogwarts!"
Professor McGonagall was almost speechless with shock. Her glasses flashed furiously.
How dare you? Might have broken your neck. It wasn't his fault, Professor. Be quiet, Miss Patil. But Malfoy, that's enough, Mr. Weasley. Potter, follow me now.
Harry caught sight of Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle's triumphant faces, as he left, walking nimbly in Professor McGonagall's wake as she strode toward the castle. He was going to be expelled, he just knew it. He wanted to say something to defend himself. There seemed to be something wrong with his voice. Professor McGonagall was sweeping along without even looking at him. He had to jog to keep up. Now he'd done it. He hadn't even lasted 2 weeks. He'd be packing his bags in 10 minutes. What would the Dursleys say when he turned up on the doorstep? Up the front steps, up the marble staircase inside, and still Professor McGonagall didn't say a word to him. She wrenched open doors and marched along corridors with Harry trotting miserably behind her. Maybe she was taking him to Dumbledore. He thought of Hagrid, expelled but allowed to stay on as gamekeeper. Perhaps he could be Hagrid's assistant. His stomach twisted as he imagined it, watching Ron and the others become wizards, while he stumped around the ground carrying Hagrid's bag. Professor McGonagall stopped inside a classroom. She opened the door and poked her head inside. "Excuse me, Professor Flitwick, could I borrow wood for a minute?" Wood, thought Harry bewildered. Was wood a cane she was going to use on him? But Wood turned out to be a person, a burly 5th-year boy who came out of Flitwick's class looking confused. "Follow me, you two," said Professor McGonagall, and they marched up the corridor, Wood looking curiously at Harry. "In here." Professor McGonagall pointed them into a classroom that was empty, except for Peeves, who was busy writing rude words on the blackboard. "Out, Peeves," she barked. Peeves threw the chalk into a bin, which clanged loudly, and he swooped out, cursing. Professor McGonagall slammed the door behind him and turned to face the two boys. "Potter, this is Oliver Wood. Wood, I found you a seeker." Wood's expression changed from puzzlement to delight. "Are you serious, Professor?" "Absolutely," said Professor McGonagall crisply. "The boy's a natural. I've never seen anything like it. Was that your first time on a broomstick, Potter?" Harry nodded silently. He didn't have a clue what was going on, but he didn't seem to be being expelled, and some of the feeling started to come back in his legs. "He caught that thing in his hand after a 50-foot dive," said Professor McGonagall. "Didn't even scratch himself. Charlie Weasley couldn't have done it." Wood was now looking as though all his dreams had come true at once. "Ever seen a game of Quidditch, Potter?" he asked excitedly. "Wood's captain of the Gryffindor team," Professor McGonagall explained. "He's just the build for a seeker, too," said Wood, now walking around Harry and staring at him. "Light, speedy. We'll have to get him a decent broom, Professor. A Nimbus 2000, or a Clean Sweep 7, I'd say." "I shall speak to Professor Dumbledore and see if we can't bend the first-year rule. Heaven knows, we need a better team than last year. Flattened in that last match by Slytherin, I couldn't look Severus Snape in the face for weeks." Professor McGonagall peered sternly over her glasses at Harry. "I want to hear you're training hard, Potter, or I may change my mind about punishing you." Then she suddenly smiled. "Your father would have been proud," she said. "He was an excellent Quidditch player himself." "You're joking," Harry said. And I think we will stop there, because I think my voice is getting a little hoarse. So, when we come back, we'll find out how Malfoy gets to eat a little bit of crow. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways. So, I love you, Carrie. I hope you have a good night. I'll call you in a sec. I love you.